The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 4, Text Number 2, given by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, recorded on September 22, 1996, in Bombay, India.
Asathagara Hashudravina Bandhushu Rajecha Vikale Nityam Virudham Mamatham Jaho Maharaj Parikshit. As a result of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, was able to give up all deep-rooted affection for his personal body, his wife, his children, his palace, his animals like horses and elephants, his treasury house, his friends and relatives, and his undisputed kingdom. Purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. To become liberated means to become free from dehatma buddhi, the illusory attachment for personal bodily coverings and everything connected with the body, namely wife, children, and all other entanglements. One selects a wife for bodily comforts, and the result is children. For wife and children, one requires a dwelling place, and as such, a residential house is also necessary. Animals like horses, elephants, cows, and dogs are all household animals, and a householder has to keep them as household paraphernalia. In modern civilization, the horses and elephants have been replaced by cars and conveyances with considerable horsepower. To maintain all the household affairs, one has to increase the bank balance and be careful about the treasury house. And in order to display the opulence of material assets, one has to keep good relations with friends and relatives, as well as become very careful about maintaining the status quo. This is called material civilization of material attachment. Devotion for Lord Krishna means negation of all material attachments as detailed above. By the grace of Lord Krishna, Maharaj Parikshit was awarded all material amenities and an undisputed kingdom in which to enjoy the undisturbed position of king. But by the grace of the Lord, he was able to give up all connections with material attachment. That is the position of a pure devotee. Maharaj Parikshit, due to his natural affection for Lord Krishna, as a devotee of the Lord, was always executing his royal duties on behalf of the Lord. And as a responsible king of the world, he was always careful to see that the influence of Kali would not enter his kingdom. A devotee of the Lord never thinks of his household paraphernalia as his own, but surrenders everything for the service of the Lord. Thereby, living entities under a devotee's care get the opportunity for God realization by the management of a devotee master. Attachment for household paraphernalia and for Lord Krishna go poorly together. One attachment is the path of darkness, and the other attachment is the path of light. Where there is light, there is no darkness. And where there is darkness, there is no light. But an expert devotee can turn everything to the path of light by an attitude of service to the Lord. And the best example here is the Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhisthira and householders like him can turn everything to light by dovetailing so-called material assets in the service of the Lord. But one who is not trained or is unable to turn everything to the service of the Lord, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe, must give up all material connections before he can be fit to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Or in other words, one who has seriously heard Srimad Bhagavatam for even one day, like Maharaj Parikshit, from a fit personality like Shukadev Goswami, may be able to lose all affinity for material things. There is no utility simply in imitating Maharaj Parikshit and hearing Bhagavatam from professional men even for 700 years. To take Srimad Bhagavatam as a means of maintaining family expenditure is the grossest type of nam aparad offense at the feet of the Lord. Sarva shubha kriya samyam api pramada. Atmajaya sudakara vashudravina bandushu Raje chavikale nityam virudham mamatam jaho. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojata janayatya shubhairabhyam jnanam chayadohaitakam. By developing attraction for Vasudeva through the process of bhakti, one naturally achieves the results of transcendental knowledge and detachment from all those things unfavorable for devotional service. Maharaj Parikshit is such an example. Although he was a king with a beautiful queen and loving children, although he wore the garments of the emperor of the earth, he sat on the beautiful throne and lived in a wonderful palace. He had so many majestic royal horses and elephants. He had armies, thousands upon thousands of faithful servants and ministers, and undisputed rivalry as the emperor of the whole world. But yet, as we see from this verse, never was he attached to any of this for his own personal sense gratification. From his very residence within the womb of his mother, Uttara, he understood his helpless condition. The Brahmastra was coming toward him as Ashwatthama was endeavoring to murder the child. And what can an embryo in the womb do to defend itself from the greatest, most powerful of all weapons, the Brahmastra? At that time, due to the prayers of Uttara, who was a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared within the womb and saved the helpless child. So actually it was by the calling prayers of a devotee that Krishna revealed himself to Maharaj Parikshit. We should always know that if we are under the protective guidance, if we put ourselves at the shelter of a devotee, by that devotee's prayers, Krishna will always be there to protect us. If somehow or other we become dear to a devotee, Krishna will be there to save us. Of course, dangers will come, risks will come, even sometimes struggling and suffering will be there. But in the end, Krishna will save us. We saw the beautiful drama where the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Amoga, he was an envious person due to bad association and previous conditionings. And due to that, he had to suffer terribly. He was laying on his deathbed with cholera. But in the end, at the very last moment, Krishna did come to save him in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply because he was dear to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. What to speak of those who take shelter with great faith in the Lord's pure devotees? Krishna never neglects the prayers of his devotees. And the nature of such great souls is they are always praying to Lord Krishna to protect, to uplift those who have taken shelter of them. So Maharaj Parikshit understood that in this world there is only one shelter, and that is in Krishna. And when he came out of his womb, although he was made the king after Yudhisthira renounced his kingdom to go high into the Himalayas, Maharaj Parikshit, due to the association of these great devotees, due to being brought up in an atmosphere of Krishna consciousness, he never forgot that Krishna is the only shelter, that this world is a place of danger, and there is only one thing worth living for, and that is Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit, although he had all of the royal opulences and a beautiful, beautiful, loving family, he was never attached to any of it in a mood of exploitation, but he was simply attached to Krishna. And he was attached to helping all those in his family, all those in his kingdom, to come closer to Krishna. And therefore he utilized everything in devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami has given us a simple instruction that we should accept everything favorable for devotional service, and we should reject anything that is unfavorable for devotional service. And this simple explanation of surrender is really all we require to know to understand what to do, how to do it in every situation of life. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness is meant to give us an understanding of who is Krishna, what is the soul, what is material nature, what is the karmic condition within this material nature, how we are being influenced by time, and how to get out of the clutches of suffering, how to reunite with our original spiritual relationship with Bhagavan, Krishna. And the formula is this: to accept what is favorable for devotional service and reject what is unfavorable for devotional service. Devotional service means to please Krishna through our efforts. Maya means to do anything, to speak anything without the desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tadvijnanartham suburum eva abhigacche. It is required that we have a spiritual master so that we can know clearly, without speculative doubts, what it means to please Krishna, what it means to serve Krishna. Because, contrary to popular opinion, service to Krishna is not to do what we like in the name of Krishna. Service to Krishna means to do what Krishna wants. And for this, we have to go beyond our own conditioned mind. And that is why it is required that we have a spiritual master who will tell us, this is what Krishna wants. Oftentimes, the spiritual master engages us according to our propensity, according to our nature, perhaps even according to our present occupation. But he teaches us how to Krishnize everything by utilizing our life for Krishna service. And this is spiritual. Anything that is meant for any other purpose is material. Maharaj Parikshit had great spiritual masters. He had a wonderful family, and therefore his beautiful, lovely wife, he cared for her with the greatest attention and respect and satisfied her in every way simply because he understood that she was Krishna's property. She was not his property. If a man thinks that the beauty of a woman is for himself, then he will exploit her. That is not protection. But if a man understands that the beauty of a woman is actually meant for the pleasure of Krishna, Krishna is Purusha, everything and everyone else is Prakriti, meant for his enjoyment, then how much that person will care for and respect his wife? There is no question of abuse. There is no question of neglect. And at the same time, there is no question of exploitation or unholy attachment. False renunciation is to think that I'm not attached, so we neglect and we abuse. But this is called Maya. It is unrealistic, incomplete, immature form of renunciation. Yukta Vairagya is to understand the utility of everything and everyone for Krishna. So if this is Krishna's property, how much we must care for Krishna's property? How much we must respect Krishna's property? If we have this consciousness, Grihastha life is Vaikuntha. But if you go either other extreme, then it is the material world. If the husband and wife think that I am enamored by your charms and I will enjoy for my own purposes, then what happens is it is simply the deep dark well of material existence. Itvatma patham grihamanda kupam. And the other extreme is that you are Maya, this attachment is Maya, so I will neglect you, I will treat you harshly, I will abuse you, I will show you no affection because you are Maya. This is the same attraction and aversion. They are the same, just different sides of the same coin of Maya. It is also, not only is it Maya, but it is also aparad, to misuse, to neglect what is meant for Krishna. But Krishna consciousness means simply this, that husband and wife, they live together and they understand that you are meant for Krishna's pleasure and I am meant for Krishna's pleasure, so I must respect you. I must never neglect you. I must facilitate you according to your needs, and you should facilitate me according to my needs, but not for sense gratification, for protection and for seva. So this is the kind of married life Maharaj Parikshit had. His wife was queen, and she was given all the respect, the affection, and the love of a queen. But Maharaj Parikshit understood that she is Krishna's queen, and I am Krishna's servant, and we are all meant for Krishna's service. Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Krishna is the proprietor of everyone. And similarly, Maharaj Parikshit had children. In fact, Parikshit Maharaj himself was a child of Abhimanyu and Uttara, and he was the grandchild of Arjuna and the Pandavas. They did not neglect him. They did not think, he's a child and he's very nice, so he's Maya. No, they were understanding that he is Krishna's property. We must raise him, train him to be Krishna conscious with all respect and all affection. And in this way, Maharaj Parikshit was given more love, more affection, more transcendental attention than anyone, but all in Krishna consciousness. And therefore he was blissful, he was happy. And when he had children, he raised them in the same way. Not that we just send them to school just so that they will make money. And then they will just, we will enjoy the money that they make. And they will enjoy the money that they make. This has nothing to do with love. This is just an extension of exploitation. Whatever you do for the child should be with the aim of helping him to perfect his life in Krishna consciousness. Anything that's contrary to that should be rejected. If a parent sends the child to school, it should be so that the child is equipped with a proper education to serve Krishna. Not that the child could just make money and make the family famous and wealthy. That is an illusion. We should train our children in a way that they will not take birth again in this world. That they will be assets to society in propagating truth, not propagating perpetuation of illusion. That is what a parent is meant to do. And if you raise your children in that way, it is not an impediment to have children. In fact, it is a spiritual asset. It is a facilitation for devotional service. And whatever facilities Krishna may give you, you have a home. Parikshit Maharaj had a palace. You may have your automobile, your car, and your driver. Parikshit Maharaj had his horses and elephants and chariots and chariot drivers. It is the same principle. In Kali Yuga, horses have become automobiles, our means of conveyance. But we should understand, what is this for? Parikshit Maharaj understood that every one of these horses is Krishna's servant. And he never rode his horse to go on some pleasurable cruise to enjoy senses, because then it would be exploitation of the horse. He used the horse for Krishna's service. And therefore he was liberating the horse by giving him the opportunity to be the servant of the servant of the Lord's devotee. And similarly, we have our automobiles. We should also understand that it is Krishna's property. It is meant to be utilized to facilitate Krishna's service. Whatever, everything is meant for Krishna's service. And therefore we accept whatever is favorable for devotional service, and we reject what is unfavorable. But ultimately we understand what is Krishna's service by what Krishna wants. So Maharaj Parikshit spent his whole life just utilizing everything in bhakti, in devotion. and how much happiness he brought not only to himself, his family, but to the whole world. He was such a brave and bold personality. The father is supposed to protect the family. The king is supposed to protect the kingdom. When Kali personified came into the kingdom of Maharaj Parikshit, how much he was willing to lay down his life if necessary to protect his citizens from succumbing to the illusions of sense enjoyment. Actually, we can use it, this beautiful pastime, also as an analogy in our own life if we are grihasthas. Maharaj Parikshit was king of the world, and the father or the husband is supposed to be king of the family. The household is a microcosm of the kingdom of the world. So, when Kali came into the kingdom to cheat people and put them in the illusion of material desires, Maharaj Parikshit immediately was willing to lay down his life with his sword to kick Kali out. So similarly, when Kali, with all of her representatives and agents, come into our home to put our family in illusion, and she has so many facilities and so many conveyances by which to enter your home and chop off, beat your legs. Every member of your family is like a cow, and the spiritual principles they stand on are the legs of dharma, truthfulness, mercy, compassion, cleanliness, austerity. But Kali's coming into your house to beat the legs of the residents by propagating so many irreligious principles, exploitation and sense enjoyment. And you should be like Maharaj Parikshit, ready to protect them. Not let Kali have any place in your home. But today, grihasthas, they are not like this. They are working very hard just to make wonderful, wonderful festival to invite Kali into their home to enjoy. We have all these facilities. I've worked for the last 50 years to get all these facilities. Now, Kali, come and enjoy. It's a festival. It's all yours. And this is considered to be the successful, supreme realization of life in the material world. And if you can do this, if you could make wonderful, wonderful facilities for Kali to come and usurp the consciousness of all your family members, you are considered a great success. You are considered a Mahajan by the whole society. People will say, yes, like this. Don't you want to become like this? But real detachment means to utilize everything according to how it will best give light and liberation to our hearts in the service of Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit lived such a wonderful, wonderful life as a husband, a father, and a king. But then he was cursed to die within 7 days. That is very less time. Today is Sunday. If you were to get this curse, that means by next Saturday, you would have to give up everything. It is not much notice. These days, if you want to give up your job, you have to give your boss 6 months' notice because they have to prepare everything in your absence. But he had 7 days, and what kind of job he had. But he wasn't the slightest attached. He understood, this is all for Krishna. My wife, my children, everything, Krishna will protect them. What do I have to fear? What do I have to worry? I have offered them to him. And then he showed he had no material attachment to anything. He had no attachment for anyone except for what it would be useful for the pleasure of Krishna and the service of Krishna. So here, the most difficult thing to do, Maharaj Parikshit very easily accomplished. He completely left behind everything with no regret, with no fear, with no attachment. And he was preparing himself to give up his own physical body, which is so dear to us, with no attachment at all. How? Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayodacha Janayatyasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayodha Hoitaka. Because he was a bhakta, because he wanted to engage in Krishna's service, and because he was Krishna conscious by the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord is the means by which we can develop the substantial spiritual strength by which real knowledge and renunciation can be realized and executed within our lives. Maharaj Parikshit, when he left everything, he understood that he must show by his example how everyone should perfect their lives. And he could have done anything. He had the strength, he had the wealth, he had the independence. Those last 7 days, he could have done anything in the whole world. But he went to a holy place, and he sat at the feet of his spiritual master, and he was within the midst of the association of devotees, and in that atmosphere, he simply absorbed his mind in hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the glories of the Lord. This is the greatest duty of all living beings. He asked Sukadeva Goswami, what is the duty of a man about to die? What is this, the highest supreme occupation? And the answer to that question was to hear and chant the glories of the Lord and remember him constantly. That is the supreme occupation for all humanity. And we should prepare ourselves. We should be executing that occupation in whatever situation we may be in. And that is real preparation for the real goal of life. Is there any questions? Yes?
Maharaj, in grihastha life, as you said that a male and a female, they both of them have to not to have a sense gratification motive, but as a service to Krishna and not having any expectation nature, then only that grihastha life can be smooth. But it's an experience of all the grihasthas, that this is a practical problem, is that the both the grihasthas, the husband and the wife, they are not on the same platform of Krishna consciousness. One person might be on a higher standard, one person might not be on the same standard. So one person might not be having that motivation or that type of inclination or that type of a high standard, and the other person might be having that same standard. So there is always a clash between the husband and the wife because that standard is not so on the topmost. So what the grihasthas have to do? Should they have to compromise that principle, or should they not to compromise that principle and just go ahead, although there might be a clashes in the family?
You do not want to deal with this problem, then you should never have gotten married. To get married means to accept problems. But if you accept them with proper guidance, then your household can become Vaikuntha. But sometimes, even in Vaikuntha, some problems may be. Vaikuntha means no anxiety. It's very rare to find a household that's actually Vaikuntha. But when the mother, when the husband, wife, children are all pure devotees, then it is Vaikuntha. Until then, we should be striving to bring it to that platform of Vaikuntha. So the question you are asking is being directed to a sannyasi. I have no practical experience of this matter. I thought that all grihasthas are simply chanting, dancing, and feasting at home. You are revealing inner secrets. But we should know that our duty is to create a Krishna conscious atmosphere. And we have to accept what is favorable and reject what is unfavorable. People are on different platforms of dedication or commitment. Then one has to use his good intelligence, because divorce is against the principles of devotional service. It is against all religious principles. So that cannot be. Somehow or other you have to stay together. And if you have children, you have duty to your children also. So we should try our very best to chant our rounds nicely every day, Maha Mantra, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day nicely, to cooperate together in such a way to create an atmosphere which is congenial for our children to be happy in Krishna consciousness. If the parents are fighting and arguing, it's a very, very contrary situation for our children to grow up in Krishna consciousness, and that is our service. So if to keep that atmosphere of cooperation, of nice sadhana, hearing, chanting, serving sadhus, if to maintain that, some compromise has to be on some level, whatever it may be, then obviously under the circumstance that is favorable for devotional service. Sense, grihastha ashram in itself is a compromise. Yes? But by Krishna, the path of bhakti, you can go back to Godhead even within that, if you just follow the principles properly. So we must understand what is the higher cause of our ashram. The higher cause is to create a spiritual atmosphere of unity, where there is the chanting of the holy names, where is the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, the offering of food to our family deities, where there is service to the Vaishnavas. This is the higher goal of Grihastha Ashram. If somehow or other, due to circumstances, to keep that unity and that devotional consciousness in that direction, we have to compromise in some ways, then we are willing for the higher cause to do so.
Maharaj, you say that Maya is so strong, anytime you can be attracted by Maya, and that too also in a grihastha life, the opportunity of Maya is very bright. Even if you sleep little bit, you just go ahead, it is just like a going downgrade. Now, always we have been taught in that way, and we also have realized it. Now in grihastha life, if we try to compromise somewhere or other, that compromising, because our natural tendency is that we want that. We are just restraining ourselves, doing all sorts of austerity to see that we don't go to that level. Little bit we go, give an opportunity, and Maya just traps you off, and you are completely off. So should we do it just because of that, or should we just take a spiritual life so seriously and not compromise at all?
Answered your question. As far as possible, we should never compromise. But if to keep our family together, it is essential. To keep a spiritual mood of unity, it is essential. Then what can you do? Do the needful. But we have to keep our goal always the higher purpose, the higher cause of our relationships. So we should try within our means to not compromise on any level. But if it becomes a necessity, then it is favorable ultimately for devotional service. And if you're Krishna conscious, you should not compromise for sense gratification. You should compromise to create a situation which will actually help everyone in devotional service, if you have to. But we cannot be thinking that if I... After all, having a job is a compromise, is it not? From the standard of just preaching 24 hours a day, to get a job means you're making money, and to make money, you're going to be using that money, hopefully some of it for preaching, and to maintain a household for preaching. But it's a compromise from just doing nam bhajan for 24 hours or preaching Bhagavad Dharma 24 hours. It is a compromise to work. But it is a necessity. It is part of the grihastha ashram. Now, what you do with your, just because you're having a job, it doesn't mean you just go wild and think, well, I'm working, so I might as well just make as much, and just enjoy as much as I can. You have to use your intelligence within that compromise of having a job and utilize it according to nice direction with self-control for the purpose of creating an atmosphere within your ashram that's Krishna conscious. Correct? The most important thing is that we should not make aparads. I am not saying that you should fall down in the name of keeping your family together. But what I am saying is you must give proper respect. You must give proper protection, emotional protection, as well as physical protection to all the members of your family. Otherwise, you are not practically performing devotional service properly. Especially if your family is all devotees. We should be facilitating and encouraging in every way our wife and children in devotional service. If a brahmachari does not feel cared for, he will be miserable. What to speak of a wife? You're always talking about brahmacharis, but you go to this brahmachari ashram. We have whole systems and apparatuses and all kinds of meetings just to make sure every single brahmachari is completely protected, cared for, and feels encouraged. Because if they're not, they will not want to live here. They will not be happy as brahmacharis. That's our goal of this ashram. If a brahmachari who's given up everything in the world requires that, what to speak of a wife? If you don't care for your wife, if you don't encourage your wife, if you don't make your wife feel wanted, feel loved, feel protected, then you are not performing your duty as a husband. And that is actually an offense. But it doesn't mean you have to fall down and have sense gratification to do that. It means you just use your intelligence. This, and listen to this tape over and over and over again. Then perhaps someday you will understand. Is there any other questions?
Hare Krishna. In the purport on the second page, Maharaj, in the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, Maharaj Yudhishthir and householders like him can turn everything to light by dovetailing so-called material assets in the service of the Lord. But one who is not trained must give up all material connections before he can be fit to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Now, can you kindly explain what is the meaning of he must give up all material connections in this regard? So that does that mean that person should always, you know, go for the renounced order of life?
Means, for all practical purposes, that one should accept proper training. But the example is Maharaj Anga. He did everything to make his son, Vena, a devotee. But his son was completely averse to Krishna consciousness. And even though he tried for years with every way he could to somehow or other bring Krishna consciousness into his family, because his son was such a terrible demon and there was nothing he could do to change him, what did Maharaj Anga do? He left. He just left the family altogether. So similarly, if you are in such a family that everyone is averse and hopelessly against Krishna consciousness with no inclination, and no matter how much training you have or how much you try to train them, they're not willing to move in the right direction, but rather they're going in the wrong direction, it is better to give up that family. Leave it. Don't waste your human form of life simply for some social obligation. But if the family is basically favorable, what to speak of if they're devotees, and there may be some anartas, there's anartas in you, there's anartas in them, with proper training we can come to higher and higher stages of Krishna consciousness. That family we cannot give up until it's time, according to the Varnashram rules. Does that answer your question? Your wife should also respect the husband.
Most of the cases, the wife respects the husband.
What?
Most of the cases, the wife respects the husband, I said.
Maybe that is your perception. But I get reports from many different many different places. Yes?
Maharaj, the question here is that most of the time the friction is because of differences in opinion performing devotional service. Differences of opinion in performing a devotional service. The husband would like to do a particular devotional service, or he may like to do that devotional service in a particular manner, but the wife may say that no, it should be done this way, or the priorities in devotional service, that's where the clashes come, Maharaj. So that's the time when really you lose all your control and then you start fighting, arguing.
Brahmacharis, you're listening to these questions very carefully. Do they ask you these questions too when you give class? No? Very well. There's a simple answer to this question. First of all, there has to be a sense of serving and understanding between Vaishnavas. And second of all, Krishna has given the perfect plan. And the plan is that the wife should see the husband as the representative of her spiritual master, and the wife should be anxious to assist the husband according to his vision. If the wife is willing to accept this humble position, then your family can be something like Vaikuntha. And this is the system that the Vedas explain. In Krishna conscious marriage, the woman takes a vow to assist her husband. The husband's vow is to protect the wife. And the wife's vow is to assist the husband. Assist means the husband should give direction and the wife should assist in that direction. But the husband has to be exemplary in Krishna consciousness and has to direct the wife in Krishna consciousness. So if there is a dispute as far as how to best execute devotional service, then the natural process that Krishna has given to resolve this dispute is the wife should humble herself to assist the husband, because that is nature, that is natural. In societies which are very Western contaminated, then everyone wants to be Prabhu. Everyone wants to be master. But according to Krishna's plan, the husband serves the wife by being example, by providing her necessities, and one of the necessities is spiritual direction. And the wife's service is to assist the husband in his service. It is a simple answer, and it is simple to execute. Is it not? But there has to be some understanding, some humility. Any questions besides these types of questions? Brahmachari question.
Maharaj, very often while executing this principle of Yukta Vairagya, means accepting whatever is favorable for Krishna's pleasure and rejecting whatever is not favorable for Krishna's service, quite often while applying it, we tend to, because of our past conditioning, we due to the momentum, we tend to follow our own whimsical like due to our own whimsical this force, by the force of our own past conditioning, we tend to postpone this principle. That every time we come across this situation, we say maybe this time it is not possible, next time I'll do it. Like this, it goes on postponing. So how to be more strict and sincere? Like
your question is that our tendency is to put off following the strict standards of Krishna consciousness to a future date. What to do in that situation? The consciousness is a gradual process of purifying the heart. But to get the maximum benefit by which we progress, we should follow strictly now. Because tomorrow never comes. If you follow very, very strictly the process of Krishna consciousness today, it's a gradual process. If you're not following very strictly, it's very, very, very gradual process. So we should not waste our life. We should understand that death could come at any moment. And that which is auspicious should be done immediately. Should not be saved for another time. Because the same weak-heartedness that you have now, Maya will always be presenting that excuse for the rest of eternity until you're willing to say no. Srila Prabhupada ki.